on the Fridays of Lent, we usually focus on some aspect of the Passion or our participation in it. There's usually something challenging about the Fridays of Lent. But today's Gospel, instead, gives us this wonderful question that the scribe asks, and the even more wonderful answer that Jesus gives. The question is, what's the first of the commandments? What's the most important thing to do? What's the greatest? What's the very heart of life? And the answer Jesus gives, love. Love God. Above all else, love your neighbor. It's just a wonderful gospel, and it, in a certain sense, tells the whole story. What more is there to say once we know the most important thing, once we know the first commandment of all? Why do I even have to give a homily? I could just say, love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind, and all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. The end. Of course, that is it. I mean, that does. That captures the whole mystery, the whole journey of life. But even Jesus himself didn't stop his ministry once he revealed the greatest commandment. He went on to continue teaching about it, but also to put it into practice, to show what he means. The greatest teaching on love is not simply reciting the words of the great commandment, but the cross. Back to the Fridays of Lent, we look to the cross. That's the instruction on love. It's love of God and love of neighbor captured in one divine image, Jesus on the cross. Now, if you've been reflecting on these passages for a while, you might realize that there are actually two versions of this encounter or this question put to Jesus. There's the positive version, which we hear today, comes from Mark's gospel. And then there's the more negative version, which is in Matthew and Luke. What I mean by this is the positive version is this one, because the scribe who approaches Jesus is a kind of an innocent soul. He's a real seeker of wisdom. He really wants to know, well, what's the greatest commandment? What's the first commandment? He's on the journey. Something delightful about this scribe. And at the end, Jesus even says, you're not far from the kingdom of God. It's pretty high praise. In St. Matthew's Gospel and St. Luke's Gospel, the one who asks the question is called a lawyer, not a scribe. I'm not sure why. Maybe they didn't like lawyers. And the lawyer who approaches Jesus and asks the question does it not in order to gain wisdom from Jesus, but in order to trap Jesus, to put him to the test. So it's the same question. What's the greatest commandment? What's the first of the commandments? A little bit, the wording is a little bit different if you compare, but basically the same question. What's the number one priority? But the questioners come from two completely different dispositions. One, today's scribe, he wants to know the truth. The lawyer who asks in Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel, he is trying to get Jesus to make a mistake or to say something by which they can trap him or hold him accountable for violating the law. Why are there two versions? I don't know. But I think we can ponder this a little bit. One thing we can learn from this is that there are two different ways of asking the big questions. The big questions. What's the meaning of life? Why are we here? What are we supposed to do? What's the secret of happiness? That's what I mean. These are the important things that move us along or challenge us. And I say there are two different ways to ask. The positive way is with this childlike openness, wonder, exploration, a kind of love for truth. I really want to know the meaning of life. I really want to know. I'd like to make us take a step forward. That's the positive way of asking. But there's a more cynical way, a kind of hardened way, which is to say, what's the meaning of life? Oh yeah, you give me an answer and I'll make a joke out of it. Or you say something that you really value and I'll figure out a way to counter you or to make you look ridiculous. And this is the way the world often does it. If someone really seeks, others will persecute or ridicule or test, keep asking questions and making it more and more complicated. It should be obvious to us that the right way to address questions like this, what's the most important thing, what's the first commandment, the right way is this, the way we read in today's gospel, the way this scribe does it. And if you think of it, you can see this disposition in some of the great thinkers, the great scientists, the great artists, those who really make progress for not only in religious questions, but progress in the human society. You think of like an Einstein or somebody, they have a kind of childlike quality to them. They really love to learn. They're excited to know things, and they just want to explore the beauty of the universe. So people who say, well, they look at the stars and they say, wow, why are some stars brighter than other stars? Are they bigger or are they just closer? Well, let's think about that. And then they start to say, well, I just want to know more about stars. Or people say, well, how do those birds, how do they know how to get back home? You could take a pigeon 1,000 kilometers away and let it go, and it flies home. Well, how does it do that? How does it know which direction to fly in? There's no, it's just a exploration of the wonder of reality. There's something beautiful about that, and it makes it possible for us to learn. As I say, there's a kind of a self-centered way of doing these things. I want to make money on the bird, or I want to advance in my career as a scientist, so I'm going to discover something that I can publish. There's no great wonder in that. Okay, and now so let's go back to Jesus' answer. So I'm honoring this scribe because he really is pondering the question of what is the first commandment. And so he's ready to receive an answer. And when he hears the answer, and this is not in Matthew's version or Luke's version, when he hears the answer, he says, oh, what a great answer. Excellent teacher. He says, well said, teacher. You're right. It's as if he was saying, yeah, that really makes sense. I love hearing the truth. And then he gives his own version, and then and that's when Jesus says, you have really given a response with understanding. It shows that you're not far from the kingdom. As I was reflecting on this, I remembered this little episode from the ministry of Bishop Barron. I know I have told this story before, but I think it's a good one. You know Bishop Barron, the American bishop who's prominent in evangelization work in the media, especially social media. He's quite well known now. And Bishop Barron will pretty much talk to anybody or go anywhere in order to proclaim the gospel in a way that modern people can understand it. He's quite good at it. And there was a clip that someone sent to me of Bishop Barron being interviewed by some kind of a political commentator, or I don't know what he was, talk show host. And they talk about all sorts of things, you know, what's wrong with society and what's the answer. And Bishop Barrow would talk to anybody who's willing to engage the conversation, not just people who agree with him, but anybody who's willing to really talk without shutting the door on one another's answer. Anyway, the host of this talk show was Jewish, and at one point he said to Bishop Barrett, "Well, what's the right way here? Is it what is the basis of religion? Is it based on law or is it based on faith?" Because the Jewish approach would be law-based, and the Christians claim to be faith-based. And that was a question he put to Bishop Barrett. Now, probably in the back of his mind, this talk show host was thinking of the classic debate between faith and works. You know, Jews are given the law, and they value the law. We just talked about that recently. And they are dedicated to living according to what God has revealed. This is the way to live. Let's live this way. You don't rebel against God. Christians, especially if you're of a more fundamentalistic background, you say the way to live is faith in Jesus Christ. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you say yes, then you're saved. And that's probably what the questioner had in mind. Is religion law-based or faith-based? Is salvation based on what you do or based on what you believe? It's a pretty good question. It's a good question. It's like saying, you know, what's the greatest of the commandments? Or what's the heart of how we're supposed to journey through this life? I love the answer of Bishop Barron. He didn't take the dilemma, either law-based or faith-based. He said, well, it's love-based. It's love-based. And that's Jesus' answer. And this is what Jesus says in today's gospel. The greatest commandment is love. Love God first. Don't let anything take his place or go before him. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That's the first thing to do. So it's not how you behave or even what you believe, but how you respond to God with love. And the second commandment, which is always together, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. So if we love, we will do what's right and we will believe what's right. Because God is love. To love is to do what's right. In our relationship with God and in our relationship with one another, it's also to believe what's right because God is love. Very beautiful. As I say, this really sums up the whole journey. Except what happens if we don't love? What happens when we fail to love? What happens when we don't follow the great commandment? Well, then we're in trouble, because the very thing we're made for, the very thing that gives meaning to our life is violated. Now what? The first reading helps us with this problem. The first reading from the prophet Hosea is God's answer, God's solution to people who have messed it up. And the response is, come back. The response is, repentance. And God is the one who opens this possibility. Sure, when we mess up, when we sin, we feel bad about it. But what can we do about it? The damage is done already. Can't go backwards. Well, God is the one who opens a new possibility. You can't go backwards, but you can go forward in a way that restores. You can return to the Lord. And this is what the Lord says through the prophet Hosea. Thus says the Lord, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Come back. You have collapsed through your guilt. And you can't build yourself back up, but I'm giving you a way to come back to me. This is the Lord saying it. Take with you words, return to the Lord, say to him. It's beautiful how God even tells us what to say. Say to the Lord, forgive all iniquity. It's like saying, have mercy on us. Forgive all iniquity, receive what is good, that we may render as offerings the bullocks from our stalls. Well, we don't have to offer bullocks. We have the offering of Jesus Christ, the one offering that satisfies for every failing. And as this first reading continues, God gives us the disposition, or teaches us the disposition that we need in order to come back to living according to the great commandment. Leave idols behind. Leave behind the defection. Leave behind the tendency to put or to depend on anything else, or to put anything above God. The work of our hands, relying on Assyria, relying on horses, all these things. Even relying on the value of our sacrifices and prayers. That's not it. Because we are not saving ourselves. See, the prophet corrects them. He says, your piety is it fades away. Ephraim, what more has he to do with idols? I have humbled him, but I will also prosper him. So the Lord is teaching us a way. It's not different than the way Jesus teaches here in the gospel, the way of love, but it's the same way in light of our having failed to love. If once we fail, we have to humble ourselves, acknowledge that we have sinned, and come back. Come back with the confidence that God really wants us back. He wants us back on the way of love. He created us in his image. He created us to love. He still loves us, and he wants us to live by love. It's a very beautiful set of readings. Very encouraging mid-Lent passage. The psalm response, I am the Lord your God. Hear my voice. And the Lord your God, hear my voice. What is his voice saying? Love. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.